Good morning. Thank you for being here. Won't you look with me in Luke chapter 15. Bethany sang about the prodigal son. And I think we'll spend a few moments in that passage this morning. Trying to figure out if this is for people that don't listen or... Okay. Amen. It's good to be back in Easton. We were trying to figure out, I was talking with our brother over here. I don't know how long it's been since we've been here. It's been maybe 5-6 years, maybe, I don't know. But I had hair the last time that's not true. It's not been that long. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read this. It's certainly a familiar portion of Scripture to us. In Luke 15 and verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now Jesus is going to give us a parable here, really three parables in one. And they are a response to what was said in verses 1 and 2. The Pharisees are upset about him with publicans and sinners, and they do not understand the forgiveness of God. So Jesus gives them these parables to teach them something about how God loves to forgive. And I think it's an encouragement for all of us to be reminded that God is a God of forgiveness. Amen. So he gives the parables. We have the parable of the lost sheep. We have the parable of the lost coin, and then we have the parable of the lost son, and that's the one I'm interested in this morning for a few moments, and I want to read it beginning in verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. Pray you help us now in the next few moments to preach the Word of God. In the power of the Holy Spirit, work in hearts and change lives for your honor and glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I do not know over these past 30 years how many times I have preached from Luke 15. And it is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It teaches us so many wonderful things. But recently I was reading in this passage and a thought struck me about this prodigal, and I'll tell you where this thought came from. I think perhaps why the Lord put it on my heart. I was preaching out in the state of Iowa. In a moment of temporary insanity, I booked a meeting in Iowa in January. I flew from Florida to Iowa, from 80 degree weather to 35 degree weather. And we preached a meeting, started on Wednesday and ended on Sunday. And on Sunday morning, the pastor's daughter came to the service. Years ago, I think she was 38 years old. So probably 20 years ago, she had left the house. She had written a little note to her father saying, "You live your life and I'll live mine." and she left home. For 20 years they'd been praying for her. And she had moved back into town and had some contact with them, had even been to church a few times. And on that Sunday morning, the Lord dealt in her heart. She got saved. Got her heart right with God. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that story in a moment. But I'm reminded that everywhere I go, there are prodigals. Everywhere you go, you can't preach in a church that doesn't have that there's not a family, that somewhere in the church there's a prodigal who's gone away. Sometimes it's a prodigal son. Sometimes it's a prodigal daughter. Sometimes it's a prodigal husband or a prodigal wife or a prodigal church member. Someone who has wandered and been out of the will of God. And I want to preach to you from this passage this morning, and I have a title for the message, and it is a question. And the question is, can your prodigal come home? Can your prodigal come home? I remember preaching in Maryville, Tennessee, and preaching from the book of Jonah, preaching about what the Lord can do, a message called Who Can Tell. And I talked a little bit about prodigals in that message. And I remember a preacher coming up to me after the service and talking about his son. And he hugged me and he wept and his whole body just shook as he wept and talked about that son that was out of the will of God. I remember preaching down in Tampa, Florida, and after the service a preacher came up and I had told a story about a prodigal son that had come home and got right with God. And he said, "Do you ever get up in the Cincinnati area?" And I said, "I do." And he said, "I've got a prodigal son." He said, "He's living up there in Cincinnati. Would you go by and see him?" I remember in Livonia, Michigan, a preacher who had a prodigal son out of the will of God, had four other children serving the Lord, and one just out, just not living for God. And I would go up there and we'd talk, the preacher and I, and he'd talk about his son and he'd weep and he'd say, I don't know what I've done wrong, and he'd say, maybe I messed up here, I messed up there, and I'd say, well, let's not talk about that, let's pray, let's just pray for him. And I would go by and see him. I knew where the boy worked and I'd go by and eat lunch with him and talk with him. I remember one day he and I went over to see his daddy and we pulled in the driveway, and before we got out of the car he looked at his father and he said, "Now here's what my dad's going to say when we get out of the car." So we got out of the car and sure enough his dad said exactly what he said he's going to say. When we got back in the car I looked at him and I said, "Son, did it ever occur to you there will come a time in your life when you'd give everything you have to hear your daddy say that again?" He was a prodigal, but he got right with God. Your prodigal ought to be able to come home. Here is a prodigal wandering son who's gotten out of the will of God. He left home and he said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me." He took what his father had. You think about really how sorry this boy is in this story. When he takes what his father has and then leaves, what he's really saying to his father is, "I want what you have, but I don't want you. I want your possessions, but not your person. If you'll give me what you've put together, I'll take it." And then as soon as he got it, he went to a far country. He's a lot like us when we were lost, weren't we? We wanted everything from God, but we didn't want anything to do with God. We want Him to bless us and take care of us. We wanted health and we wanted happiness. But we didn't want to love Him and didn't want to serve Him. So he got away from his family and he got in the far country. And the Bible said he wasted his substance with riotous living. His brother will say when he comes back that he hath devoured his living with harlots. I don't know if that's true or just the brother's opinion. But I do know this. Living an immoral life will certainly waste away everything you have. And then the Bible says this. I like this little phrase. He's down there in the hog pen. He joins himself to the citizens of the far country. No man gives to him. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat. And let me stop and just put a little parenthetic expression right in here and say this to you. That's where everybody ends up that lives a wicked life. They end up on the bottom with nothing left. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let him say, "Well, you know, you live a life of wickedness and ungodliness. You turn your back on God and the things of God and you'll be all right." It'll not happen, friend. You may get along for a while, but sin always leads to destruction. It always leads to sorrow. Just mark it down. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So here is the boy, and he's down in the swine field. And here's the phrase that captures my attention in verse 17. When he came to himself. That's a good little phrase. I don't know if they use this phraseology up here much, this little bit of language, but a lot of time down south they'll say, you know, I went to the Walmart and guess who I came upon in the Walmart? Guess who I happened to come upon in the Walmart? And what they're saying is, I turned the corner and saw somebody and recognized him. When the Bible said he came to himself, what it's saying is, he recognized what he was and where he was. He came to himself. He got back in his right mind. When you sin, you're never in your right mind. Dr. Don Green always said, sin is stronger than good sense. So he comes to himself and here's what he said. Now, listen, here's what he said. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. And I want to say three things to you about this prodigal, and I want to ask you this question. Can your prodigal come home? What was it that made it possible for this boy who has been, he's really shamed his father, he has really turned his back on his father, he has ruined his testimony, and in a measure the family's testimony, and he's got to rock bottom, why is he able to come home? What is it that caused him or allowed him to come home? The first thing I want you to notice is, he could come home because he knew his father would be where he left him. Now he said, I will arise and go to my father. Now he could not have said, I'm going to my father unless he knew where his father was. He has not seen his father. He has not spoken to his father. How does he know where his father was? He knew his father would be right where he left him. And he said, preacher, I don't understand what you're saying. All right, let me explain it to you if I can. Years ago, the preacher that I mentioned earlier out in Iowa, his daughter left. And when she left, he decided he was going to resign the church. He decided that because he had a daughter that was not living the way that she should, that he would resign the church. And so that was his plan. He was going to resign the church. And so one of his elder preacher friends said to him, he asked him this question. He said, if you leave, where will your daughter have to come back to? If you go, where is she going to return to? I was preaching recently in Mississippi, and there's a family, the man had been a deacon in the church. I was preaching revival down there, and one of the men of the church had been by to see him. He'd been a deacon, as far as I know, maybe still on the roll as a deacon, but hadn't been to the church, hadn't been involved in the church in many years. And one of the men of the church went to see him, and he came to me that night, and he said, preacher, he said, brother, so-and-so, I went to see him. He promised me he'd come, but he didn't come tonight. I said, you and I will go see him tomorrow. So we went and got with him and sat down. The man was cordial. His wife was cordial. We talked a little while. We talked about the church. First we had a little small talk, you know, and then I talked to him a little about the church. And I said, we sure want you to come. We're having a meeting. The Lord's blessing us. We want you to come be in the meeting. He said, well, I'll do my best to come that night. And I looked at his wife and I said, what about you? And I talked to her and she said, well, I'll do my best to come. And so they did. They came. As a matter of fact, they came two nights in a row, the last few nights of the meeting. And then we had a little fellowship. And I got over with the man and talked with him a little bit. And he said, boy, it feels good to be back in church and I'm glad to be here. And then he started to talk to me. I didn't ask him questions, but he said, I don't really know why I got out. He said, I don't really know why. And then a little tear come out of his eye and he said, you know, my daughter, she got away from God and she told me she didn't want anything to do with God. And he said, I'd raised her in church and it had been such a disappointment to me that she got out. And he said, I think that's what did it. It broke my heart and I just got out of church because of it. And I thought to myself, if you get out of church because your children wander, if you wander because they wander, where will they have to come back to? I'm going to tell you, it is so important for us to live for God. It's important for us to go on and serve Him. You say, preacher, my children have broken my heart. Well, they've broken God's heart too, but He's not changing and He's not moving. Just go ahead and stay in the church. Go ahead and serve the Lord. Go ahead and teach your Sunday school class. Go ahead and do your bus route. Go ahead and keep doing your devotions and keep praying and keep witnessing and keep serving and stay where you were. And one day when God wakes up the heart of that
prodigal wanderer and they get to looking around and saying, you know, I made him, because it's going to happen. They're going to end up on the bottom and they're going to turn around and look and just say, you know, I made a mistake. I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't be what I'm doing. They've got to have somewhere to go back to. So they've got to have you serving God. It is so important for us to remain faithful when we have prodigals in our lives so that they can come back. The Bible said it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I thought about when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain. You remember, and Isaac looked around. He said, Father, he said, here am I, my son. He said to him, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, why did he say that? Because Abraham had raised him up knowing how to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. The Bible tells us if you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Here's what I believe that verse means. I believe that verse has to do with the fact that he'll never be able to get away from the teaching of the Word of God. It'll come after him. It'll hunt him down. It'll be brought up in everyday occurrences. You know, hallelujah, God has a way of breaking in on a hard heart and breaking in and bringing conviction. And so we keep planting the Scriptures, the Word of God in hearts when they're little, so that when they grow, it'll be there. And then we remain. If they get out of the will of God, you just stay. So they have somewhere to come back to. This boy was able to come home because he knew his father was where he left him. There's a second reason he was able to come home. He knew his father would listen to him. In verse number 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father. Look at this now. And will say unto him. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to forgive the prodigal. God, forgive it. Sometimes we get bitter over people that have disappointed us. Sometimes we get bitter because somebody didn't do what we thought they would. Because somebody didn't continue where we thought they would. And so when we get bitter, then we want to cast them out. We want to say, you know, you've wronged me and you've hurt me. But that's not... Now listen to this, boy. I understand that there has to be chastening when someone's out of the will of God. But this boy in Luke chapter 15, he's already on the bottom. Nobody has to say to him, boy, sin's not a good thing. He knows that. Nobody has to say to this prodigal, you know, if you keep on the way you're going, you're going to end up in the hog pen. He's already there. Nobody has to beat him down. Nobody has to convince him he's done wrong. He knows that he's done wrong. All he needs now is forgiveness. I know that there are prodigals who've never repented, and God is going to take them to the hog pen. They're going to end up on the bottom. They're going to end up with sorrow. We're not glad about that. We just know that's what happens when you run away from God. You end up in sorrow, and God will bring them to the end. So you and I must be prepared when God brings them low and brings them to the end. We must be prepared to listen when they come back. He came back, and on his way, he said, I will say to my Father. He was assured in his heart that his father would listen to him. Would you listen to your prodigal if he came home today? If she came home today, would you listen? He knew that his father was where he left him. He knew that his father would listen to him. And thirdly, he knew that his father would be lenient with him. We might say merciful. Here's what he said. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And listen to the next verse, verse 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, this is an interesting passage. Because we're dealing really with Old Testament theology in this passage. We're in this sense. Under the Old Testament theology and the Jewish economy, this boy was worthy of death. Under the Old Testament economy, the Bible says that if a son is rebellious, you bring him to the gate. And you say to him, my son is rebellious, he's a winebibber. Certainly that was the way this boy was living. He won't listen to what I have to say. And the Bible said when you bring him, here's what the Scripture said, Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them,
until his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of the city under the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his son, of city, our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear in fear. And I'm going to tell you, young people ought to pay attention to that. Young people ought to pay attention to that. A rebellious son will not listen to authority, living a wicked life. He's to be stoned in the Old Testament. No wonder God said, Samuel said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God hates rebellion. And so, according to the Old Testament economy, what this boy deserved and what he was worthy of and what he should have gotten was he should have been stoned. Somebody said one time, I was hearing a preacher preach on this, and I don't know if he's right or not, but it's an interesting thought. He said the father ran. You remember it? When he was a long way off, his father saw him and ran. And he said he was running to get to him before the elders got to him in the gate. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know this. He didn't get what he deserved. He came home. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That's what he had on mind. That was what he practiced. That was his speech on the way home. He never got to get that last part out. Because when he came, his father saw him a great way off and ran, had compassion, fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father, he butted in right in the middle of his little speech. And he said, but the Father said, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. I'm reminded of a family whose son got out of the will of God, and when he came home, they took him to the mall, bought him a new suit. They took him to a jeweler and bought a ring and put it on his finger. They put him in the shoe store and bought shoes, put on his feet, and took him down to the steakhouse and killed the fatted calf. They want him to know he was welcome back in the fold. But I'm saying to you, the father was lenient with him. And the boy knew he would be, because the boy didn't say, now, I'm going to go back to my father, and no matter what I tell him, I'm going to have to die. He said, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to say to him, I've sinned, and I'll see if he'll at least let me be one of the hired servants. He knew his father would be lenient and merciful. And so he came home. Now, there's three things. Listen to him. Say, how did this prodigal come home? He knew his father was where he left him. He knew his father would listen to him. And he knew his father would be lenient with him. You say, preacher, I want my prodigal to come home. I want him to come back. Well, is this how he'll find you? Will he find you where he left you? Will he find you serving God faithfully? Does he know where to come? If your prodigal got up this morning and said, or next Sunday morning and said, you know, I need to go back to church where mom and dad are. I need to get back to living the way mom and dad taught me. Are you still there? Are you still faithful in your Bible and in your prayer and in your church membership? What about if it was Wednesday night and the Holy Ghost dealt with your prodigal and he said, I'm going to go to church tonight. Would you be here? Then would you listen? Would you have the grace to listen to what they have to say? And would you be lenient and merciful? Now you and I know this whole story. We liken it to our condition and our situation, but you and I know this whole story is talking about God. God the Father. Let me tell you three things about God. Number one, He's right where you left Him. If you're away from Him this morning, He hadn't moved. He hadn't changed His mind. He hadn't changed His beliefs. He hadn't changed what He said about sin. He hadn't changed what He said about forgiveness. He is right where you left Him. He hasn't stopped being a faithful God nor a loving God. He's right where you left Him. You say, preacher, I want to go back. Then go back where you left Him. He's right there. He hadn't moved. He hadn't changed. I'll tell you something else you can know about God this morning. If you want to come back, He'll listen to you. He'll listen to you. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll listen to you. And He'll be lenient with you. He'll be merciful. He's a God of mercy. His mercy endureth forever. I was telling you about that young man that I would go and visit. And one day in the One week I went up there for tent meeting. The tent meeting was to go Sunday through Sunday. I could only stay Sunday through Friday. So on Saturday morning I left and I had to be in, that was in Michigan, I had to be in Louisville, right outside of Louisville, Kentucky that night for a service. And I went down there and they kept on with the tent meeting through Sunday morning, or through Sunday. And Monday night, down in Louisville, I was singing and I had a vertigo attack. I've had a couple of them. And boy, everything got to spinning around. I ended up in the hospital and they sent me home and put me to bed. I tell you that because I was in the bed about 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. And the preacher called me from Michigan. He said, "Brother McBride, what you doing?" I said, "I'm in the bed. I've had a little health problem." And he told me he'd pray for me. And then he said, "I got to tell you what happened Sunday." I said, "What happened Sunday?" He said, "Well, we started the service Sunday morning, and in Sunday school, a man stood up and began to testify, and then somebody else did, and then somebody else came to the altar, and then somebody else went to somebody and got right." And he said, "All of a sudden, people were at the altar, and they were getting right with one another, and they were confessing sin." And he said, "It went all through Sunday school class." He said, "It's time for the morning service, but we never got to it." He said, "People were testifying. They're getting right. Families were getting right with each other." He said, "There were things going on in the church I didn't even know about. People were confessing them and getting right with God, going to one another." He said, "It went all through the Sunday morning service." He said, "It went on till 1 o'clock. It went on till 2 o'clock. People go back to their seat, then they'd come back to the altar, then they'd go to somebody, then somebody testify, then somebody go to somebody else." He said, "It went on till 2 o'clock." He said, "At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the back door opened and my son came in." He said, "He came running to the altar and he got on his knees. And I went down, he went down beside him and prayed with him. In a little while, he got up and he said, 'Everything all right, son?' He said, 'Not quite, Dad.' And the boy stood up on the platform and confessed his sin. He didn't go into detail, he didn't get into specifics, but confessed that he'd done wrong and asked the church to forgive him. And he said, 'God's forgiven me. I've asked my dad to forgive me and I want the church to forgive me.' And of course, the church forgave him. So I rejoiced with that preacher on the phone a little while, and I hung up the phone and I called another preacher, a friend of mine that had a boy that was a prodigal. And I told him what had happened, and he didn't say a whole lot. He didn't rejoice. He just kind of listened, and then he said, 'Thank you,' and he hung up. I didn't know what happened, but when he got off the phone, he got down beside his bed on his knees and he said, 'Lord, you don't love him anymore than you love me. Wouldn't you do for my son what you did for his son?' And he said, 'I'd pay any price.' About a week later, maybe 2 weeks later, I was driving down the road and I got a phone call. And that preacher, that second preacher, had a heart attack. He's in the hospital. So I parked the motor home, got the car, the hospital. I'm standing there in the room and the door opened. And guess who came in? The prodigal. He come in the door. He said, 'I know why my dad's here. I know why he's had a heart attack. I'm the reason. I've done wrong. I know what this is. I got to get right with God.'" 2 weeks later, now the boy got right in church right away, but 2 weeks later when the dad was able to be back in the service, the boy got up in the church service, asked his wife to forgive him, asked his children to forgive him, asked his dad to forgive him, asked the church to forgive him. If you, this morning, if he's not working, he's working a shift where they're moving him all around, but if he's not working, he'll be leading the singing, he'll be leading the song service there at the church. I'm just saying to you, prodigals do come home. They can come home, but they have to have somewhere to come home to. Can your prodigal come home? I don't know why the Lord had me preach this message. I do know there's prodigals in every church. Maybe somebody this morning you give up your praying for. Maybe you've gotten so discouraged you just finally said, "Well, there's just no hope." Let me tell you about this. This is not exactly a prodigal son, but it's the same vein of thought. So my dearest friends down in Florida, they've been praying for the lady they call Nanny. She's 90-some years old, raised Catholic. They've been witnessing to her for years. She's a prodigal grandma, so to speak. They've been witnessing to her for years. She never would respond. She ended up in the hospital. And the lady went up there and she's sitting in the room. She's eating a piece of cake. She fell down. Nanny fell down and when she went in, they said she's having congestive heart failure. So the lady's in there and she says to her, "Nanny, that's a pretty serious thing." And Nanny said, "I know it is." She said, "Have you thought about dying and going to heaven?"
She said, "What are you trusting in?" She said, "I've lived a good life and I go to church." And she began to quote her the scriptures that she's quoted her 100 times. And she looked at her and she said, "Nanny, you know you're a sinner." And for the first time, she answered her. She said, "I know I'm a sinner." She began to go through the scriptures and Nanny began to respond. And finally she said, "Nanny, wouldn't you like to pray and ask the Lord to save you?" And she said, "I would." She's the prodigal grandma. And she said, "I'll bow my head and pray and then you pray." She bowed her head and began to pray, but before she could get done, Nanny started praying, calling out to God, and she got born again. And I told you that story for this reason. You say, "Preacher, I got a prodigal." And you give up your praying. And you've wavered in your faithfulness. No, you got to stay at it so they have somewhere to come home to. It may take a lot of years. 20 years, 30 years. It may take a lot of years. But I'm going to tell you, you be faithful because God is faithful. And you make sure you're where they left you. You make sure you're willing to listen. You make sure you'll be merciful when they get down to the bottom. You're going to have to forgive them. You're going to have to forget the disappointment. You're going to have to forget whatever shame was involved in it. And you're going to have to say, "I'm glad you're back." You're going to have to help them get right with God. That's what God will do with us. That's what we're going to have to do with our prodigals. I felt like God put this on my heart this morning. I'm going to ask you this one more time. Can your prodigal come home? Can he? Can she? I want you to bow your heads a moment. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I'll ask you a question. Do you have a prodigal? Do you have a prodigal? I'll ask you this question. Are you a prodigal? You can be wandering right in the pew. You can be in the far country, sitting in the pew at First Baptist Church of Easton, away from God. But you can come home. You can come home. And I wonder this morning, maybe there's a parent, you just need to come to the altar, get on your knees and pray for your prodigal and say, "Lord, I don't seem to be able to affect what they do, but I certainly can affect what I do. I can be faithful and give them a place to come back to." I hope you haven't given up on your prodigals. I hope your heart still burns for them and your prayer closet still hot over them. I hope you haven't given up. I wonder, I'll ask you this, our heads are bowed. Is there somebody this morning say, "Preacher, I am the prodigal. I know I'm sitting here in the pew of First Baptist Church, but I'm away from the Lord. I'm not walking with Him like I once did. I am the prodigal this morning. I need to get back to the Lord. Will you pray for me?" Is there anybody like that this morning? Nobody's looking. You lift your hand and I'm going to pray for you. I am the prodigal. I'm away from the Lord. I'm not where I was for Him once. Please remember me when you pray. I see your hand. Is there somebody else? I may be sitting here in the pew, but in my heart, I'm in the far country. I need to come home. God's where you left Him. He'll listen to you. And I'm going to tell you, He's a God of great mercy. I wonder if there's somebody say, "Preacher, I have a prodigal. Will you pray for me? I'll be faithful until they come home." Somebody like that. There's a hand. There. Pray, Lord. Preacher, pray. I don't give up. I want to be faithful. Now, Father, help us this morning. So at least one here said, "I am the prodigal." There's several said, "I have a prodigal." Lord, we can come home and we can help others come home. I pray You'd help us with our faithfulness. That's the beginning. That's the key, Lord. To be faithful so they have a place to return to. Pray You help us now. I know, Lord, if this one will come, they'll find open arms and a merciful Savior. And then, Lord, I pray for others. They'll find help. They'll find help this morning. Do in the hearts of our prodigals what we cannot do. And then help us to do what we can. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to stand to our feet, if you will, please. Our sister's going to play on the organ, just whatever, just play anything.
God dealt with your heart. If you are the prodigal, why don't you come? If you have a prodigal, why don't you come? Do business with God at the altar this morning. Say, preacher, I've prayed and prayed. Pray again. Pray again. Pray again. Say, Lord, make this the time.